great, 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 great day. Listen, it's Apostle Janita Collins, and we are coming here strong. February the 9th, 2025. Listen, we have blown through January, and we are now in February. And we are still dealing with the job of truth in the ecclesia. Listen, I need you to remember that the truth has a job in the ecclesia. We don't really care what it's doing in the world, but it should matter to us what's happening within the body of Christ. Listen, the truth is sent to free us. It's sent to liberate us, and it's sent to deliver us. Listen, we have to be the ones crying out, free me, Lord. You understand? We have to be the ones crying out, deliver me, Lord. We have to be the ones crying out, liberate me, Lord. Listen, that is the season that we are in. It's later going from season to season, thinking that we are okay, and we're not. Okay, I'm coming out the gate. It's later for thinking that we are okay and we're not. It's later for trying to be heady in Christ and not be truthful in Christ. Okay, what am I saying? It's later for sitting up here having all of this knowledge of the word, but a lack of application. Okay, it's later for studying the word, listen, line upon line, but you cannot apply it because you don't actually understand it. You have no wisdom, you have no insight, and you have no revelation. So therefore, you lean to other tools. You lean to intelligence, humanistic intelligence, to process something that's spiritual. Oh, come on here. Yeah, I'm coming out the gate. You cannot take your humanistic ideologies and process the Holy Spirit. You cannot take your human mind and process the Holy Ghost. You cannot take your will and process truth in Jesus Christ. It's impossible. I just need to let you know, because listen, the body is struggling because it has no truth. The body is struggling because it's not found in truth. The body is struggling because it's found in itself. It's found in man, denying the power thereof. There's a power that comes with truth. And I believe scripture says that it's, the power is that it what? Make you free. Lord, deliver me. Okay? So we've already gone through the recap. You guys know where we've been. Okay? We've gone through truth, exposing sin, exposing strong will, exposing strong appetites. Listen, leading us to repentance, allowing the Holy Ghost to lead us to repentance. Listen. Then allowing the Holy Ghost to lead us to righteousness. And we begin to go through, what does that look like? We begin to go through, what does it really mean to be a bondservant unto Jesus Christ and no longer lean our members to darkness? We went through the importance of yielding. We must yield our spirits. We had a conversation, me and a dear mentee of mine, and you know, we were talking about bending. And I wanted to make a distinction, and I said, well, wait a minute. Well, no, we're no longer bending into Jesus Christ. We're yielding to the Holy Ghost. Hear me and hear me well. See, the world, that's worldly language. Oh, I'm a bend and do this. I'm a lean into that a little bit more. No, we are going to yield our members to the Holy Spirit. We're going to yield our members to the truth. We are going to yield our members. We tell our members which way to go. We no longer allow them to run rampant. Inordinance is no longer a part of our life, but now we set things into order. We decide what we yield our members to. No other spirits decide for us, because now we are led by the Holy Spirit. Hear me and hear me well. The Holy Spirit is the only spirit that can lead us into all truth. It's his job. The Holy Spirit has a job to work on each and every one of us, to bring each and every one of us before our King, holy, righteous, acceptable. Come on here. We're not using the Holy Ghost as we should. We're not befriending the Holy Ghost. We're not building relationship with the Holy Ghost, because to do that means that you must build a relationship in truth. Those who worship me must worship me in spirit and in truth. And because we don't have truth, we keep building relationships and bending into other forms. Come on here. But when you begin to yield your members to the Holy Ghost, you surrender your desires. You give up your will. You meditate on the word day and night. You pray without ceasing. Are you guys hearing me? Are you understanding? Your lifestyle changes. It can't remain the same. But when you're bending, it's just like that tree. Well, when the wind blows, it can blow whichever kind of way. The wind is shifting the bending. But when you yield into the Holy Ghost, truth is aligning and showing you and organizing your footsteps. Truth is guiding. Truth is governing. Oh, come on here today. Come on here today. We all need truth. And truth never stops producing. Truth never stops producing. I need you to write that down. Truth never stops producing. Why? Because God is always looking for the fruit of what he put in us. And we should always be looking for the fruit of our labor. But you know why you're not looking? Because you know that you're not laboring. You're not laboring to win. You're not laboring to produce. You're not working that. You're not putting your hands to hold fast. You're not fighting and warring. So this is why anything can show up at any given time. This is why any spirit can show up and rule and take place and take ownership at any given time. But I'm telling you, you have to yield. That means you're surrendering. That means you're stopping. That means you're slowing yourself down. And you're now discerning the truth from the lie. You're now asking God to help you with your doubt and your unbelief. You're now saying, I need help. But when you are not yielding, you don't realize you need to stop anything. It's like that car that just keeps going. You know the ones that like to run the lights? But the yield is there for a minute. It's saying, hey, hey, wait a minute. Slow down so that you can discern if harm is before you. Oh, come on here. Slow down so that you can discern if you can go forward. Wait for the green. Wait for the red. But when you're bending, what are you bending to? But when you're yielding, you're intentionally slowing down and making yourself aware. You must walk in awareness. You must walk in astuteness in the spirit. See, this is the problem. The body of Christ doesn't think that it needs to become astute in the spirit. So it's using all of this worldly language and worldly knowledge and trying to make it fit into Christ Jesus, but it doesn't fit. Scripture already told us, what does light have to do with dark? They don't go together. You can't hybrid them. What does vinegar go with oil? It doesn't go together. It keeps separating. But the problem is, if you are asleep, you don't know that you're on the wrong side of the separation. So you must yield. You must slow down. You must be able to evaluate that you're the danger in the kingdom. That you're the problem. These behavior patterns. Or else, I love this. I love how God laid this out. He gave it to me like this: without conviction, we will remain deaf to truth, dumb to regarding our inordinate spiritual conditions, and blind to our deadly spiritual deficits. Listen, I need you to respect that. I need you to hear what thus saith the Lord concerning your own life. You cannot become a servant of righteousness, listen, if you have no conviction. You cannot become a servant of righteousness if you remain deaf. If you remain in inordinate spiritual conditions, if you remain blind, well, if you remain dumb to your inordinate spiritual conditions, and if you remain blind to your deadly spiritual deficits. I repeated that because it's so important to your development. Because this is what we like to do. We like to think that we already know. And we haven't really gone back to see what problems God may have with us. It's a reason why in Revelations, listen, he did a whole writing to every church. And then he talked about, but I hold this one thing against you. I've been preaching this one thing against you message from the beginning of preaching. From the beginning of my return to Christ. Why? Because listen, when God told me I was going straight to hell, Lord, help me. That's a loving God. See, many people can't handle a God like that, but that's really how God is. That's why I know you're not in Christ Jesus, because you're always looking for him to tell you something good and tell you something sweet and tell you about all the blessings, but he can't tell you the truth about you and what's going to keep you from entering into his kingdom and what's going to keep you from entering into eternity. Are you hearing me? See, he loved me so much that he told me to my face. Yeah, you can do all of that, and that's all good. But that's good for them. It's not good for me. See, these are my good deeds. I'm everywhere my family needs me to be. I'm providing for everybody around me. Whatever is needed, I'm blah, 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 blah. And God said, and what about it? You're still going straight to hell, Johnita. Wait a minute. What do you mean? Yeah, I wasn't a servant to him. I wasn't bound to him. I wasn't unfree. I was trying to do this thing however I saw fit, whatever I thought. But when God came and got me, he said, wait a minute. Let me just let you know, no, you're not coming to live with me, because you're not going to bring your own ways to my world. And I know I'm not the only person that he talks to like that. The problem is we don't want to accept the God that we really claim is ours. Because he'll say whatever he needs to get you with him. He'll give you whatever truth you need to get with him when you really have a question. See, my question was like, I was like, wait a minute, God, I think I'm a failure. I think I'm a failure. Because I loved him, but I had nothing. I didn't have enough information inside of me to understand his world, to understand his will, to understand what he really meant. I saw a lot of religion in a lot of church, but I didn't see a lot of truth in the body. And so a lot of us are just replicants of the nonsense that we've seen in the religious work that we've been a part of and that we've witnessed from other leaders. And we haven't sat down long enough to find out the truth of Jesus Christ and his word. So there has been no true deliverance or healing because we still trying to build on another man's work and another man's word. All right. Well, you know, you'll catch up with me next week, perhaps. But I'm speaking the truth. I know the truth. I had to walk this thing out for myself. Because you can only come to Jesus for yourself. I can't save nobody else. My job is to preach the gospel, but you got to live it. My job is to preach the gospel and teach the gospel, but you got to obtain it. You got to believe it. You got to trust it. You got to try it out. You got to work it out. So I understand the importance of yielding my members to my King. I wouldn't be standing here and I wouldn't be qualified to preach the gospel if I had not. And I'm talking about qualified by Jesus Christ, not by man. Because many people are qualified by man and not by Jesus Christ. With that being said, let me bring you forward to where we're going with this, right? Because we have been walking down this line, down this lane. We've been on this road. We've been on this path. But today, I got to give you another little wisdom nugget, right? I got to take you to a whole nother level. I got to cause you to begin to look at your own self and dig into your own mind and your own soul and start looking at your own deficits and understanding why you have deficits and why you're remaining defeated. Your deficits are taking you and leading you into defeat. Come on here. It's your deficits. It's your lack of wisdom. It's your lack of knowledge that's causing you to be defeated. But in King Jesus, listen, we prevail. We cause the enemy not to prevail, but we prevail. So you have to understand the importance of getting up your weight and understanding truth and accepting truth. Understanding the purpose of righteousness and that it actually has a place and a purpose in the ecclesia. Righteousness leads us to holiness, but holiness renews the righteous spirit of God in us. Come on here. Let me say it again. Righteousness leads us to holiness, but holiness renews the righteous spirit of God in us. Listen, God is not in us until we become righteous. Oh, give me 1 second. Losing my notes. Nevertheless, it don't change the truth because it's the truth anyhow. Now, according to Titus 3:5, not by works of righteousness, which we have done, but according to his mercy, he saved us by the washing of regeneration and renewing of the Holy Spirit, Holy Ghost. Now, I went forward. And I really had to, that's my next point, because last week we were in Romans 8 and we stuck with, what was it? Oh, I'm sorry. I think it was 5:19. I'm going to get 6:19. That's where we were last week. But we have to keep building out. Because the important part is you got to see that it's a building. And the way that we like to build in the church and think that we're building, you have to build the way God is building you. And so it's not always boom, 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 boom. Maybe he's going to go here. He's going to go over there. He's going to go over here. This week he's taking us to Titus 3:5 because the whole point is we hit on the importance of righteousness leading us to holiness. Now we have to understand that holiness renews the righteous spirit of God in us. It is holiness that washes us clean. It is holiness that begins to rejuvenate and regenerate our spirit. We have a new created spirit that we ignore all day, every day. That's the spirit that's supposed to rise up against everything that's not like Jesus. Come on here. We literally have a spirit inside of us that opposes everything that's not like Jesus. But because we don't exercise that thing, because we're trying to do this thing like the world and not like Jesus. When Jesus walked the earth, I promise you, anything that opposes, that opposed the kingdom of heaven, he rose up. And he checked them right there. But no, we don't do that. So we are not. Listen, it's available. I just read the scripture. It's available to us. But the reason why it's not working is because we want to do it the world's way. We don't want to do it Jesus way. We don't want to have a righteous indignation, right? We don't want to do that. We don't want to be, because now we're going to be a problem. So no, we're going to be the get along crew. Because the moment that we open up our mouths and say, well, that's not really the way I want to go. Well, I don't really agree with that statement. We don't all have to go along to get along. We can just be respectful. You can give people a new level of thinking. You can open up and deposit a new level of thinking. But you know what? We don't want to do that because we want to fit in and we are too afraid to be separated. We're too afraid to be hot and on fire. We're too afraid to be bold. We're too afraid to resist the devil when the devil constantly affronts us. Oh, come on. Constantly putting his ideologies before us. And we are either silent or we're just agreeing. And we all know, even in our silence, we are agreeing. There are some things that is asked of me every day at my secular job that I just refuse to do. And the reason why I refuse to do it is because it will make me not a minister of the gospel. It will cause me to have to answer Christ Jesus himself. It's going to cause me to quench the Holy Ghost. I've developed too much. I've given up too much to be okay with that. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So here's the problem. Many Christians don't look at themselves and say, hey, but I value my relationship with Christ more. So I can't go along to get along. I cannot. Listen, there's some things that they ask you to say every day. I refuse. I'm not releasing those mantras over my life. I release the word of Jesus Christ over my life. I'm not participating in that nonsense because that's exactly what it is. I worship the true and living God. I don't have to say all these things to make it happen. It's going to happen because I'm a king. Are you kidding me? It got to happen. It must happen because I'm an heir of the king and I represent the king. One day you'll catch it. God ride out with his own. When you belong to Jesus Christ and you stand for Jesus Christ, there's nothing that anything in hell can do with you. Even when it wants to, there's a hedge of protection around you. There's a fiery fence around you. There's the blood speaking out on your behalf. You better not cross over here. Like, I got a whole billboard going around me. Like, you better not cross over here. That's how you got to be. You got to be on fire for God. You cannot be put to sleep. You can't be changing out guys and thinking that, oh, I just said that because that's what they, I don't care what they claim they require of you. What you should keep on your mind is, what does God require of you? Because at the beginning and of, end of this thing, only what you do for Christ will last. And that's the truth. Let's go through Titus 3, 1 through 8. Remind them to submit to rulers and authorities. They should be obedient and ready to do every good thing. They shouldn't speak disrespectfully about anyone, but they should be peaceful, kind, and show complete courtesy towards everyone. Now, let's deal with this real quick. Because the average Christian thinks that peaceful means not ruffling any feathers. But scripture tells us there could be no peace without war. I need you to understand. Your mind is not right. And your mind is not just like the mind of Jesus Christ. Your mind is in the world and it's not on things above. It's on things below because that's actually not how Jesus thinks. But because you're reading the canonized scripture, you have to read the canonized scripture according to the spirit of Jesus Christ himself, not the world. And the problem is many read the scripture according to the world. And that's why they walk in no revelation or understanding of their king, of their ruler, of the authority that they even have to stand in that kind of posture. But I stand with Jesus Christ. Who do you stand with? Because listen, if you disagree, I'm just saying, we're dealing with secular and spiritual things. If you disagree, I stand with Jesus Christ so much, he's going to provide another place. I am not so afraid to lose anything. What I'm afraid of losing is my salvation. Are you? Because the moment that you are afraid of losing your salvation, you can no longer agree with the enemy of your very soul. You could not agree with the very enemy of your very mind. You could not agree with the very enemy of your spirit. Your new created spirit that God put inside of you so that you will grow up and annihilate them. That's your job. Your job is to annihilate anything that opposes the word of Jesus Christ. Not to agree. Kind. I am kind when I take the time to have a conversation with you instead of just knocking you out. No, we're confused. I'm kind when I remember the truth of the word, despite the lie that you're trying to tell me. I'm kind when I can look past your human issues and still pray for you righteously. That's kind. Kind is not letting people step all over you and do whatever they want. That's a worldly concept. That is not a kingdom concept. Show complete courtesy towards everyone. I respect everyone. I don't care your religion, your color, your creed, whatever. I don't really care. I can respect you. Hello, good morning. Great meeting you. Have conversation and move on down the line. But when we think, when the world speaks of respect, it's welcome them into your home. Love up on them. And listen, and start agreeing with them. No, that's not respect. That's not courtesy towards everyone. Courtesy towards everyone is letting everybody get to their expected end accordingly and ministering to those who God called you to minister to and doing the things that God called you to do and everything else, let it be because your hands are not supposed to be on it. And yeah, I'm back to bridging these here walls. Bridging these roads. Where are we going with this? You can be courteous towards anyone, but it doesn't mean being courteous means invite everybody into the church or into the kingdom and say, look around and have your way and bring all of your idols. I don't see that example in the scripture, not one place. Every place where they high-breaded Jesus Christ, every place where God said, do not bring those other gods. He cursed that land. He cursed those things. They did not make it. So without a shadow of a doubt, I understand that whoever and whenever you think like that, you are not in Christ Jesus. But the issue for God is you're leading a whole bunch of other folk to hell, and he takes issue with it. The followers will get few stripes, but the leaders will get many because you know better and you chose differently. Now, this is how you, I know you're probably looking at this like, how you get all of that out of this? But when you are raised by the apostles and you follow the apostles' doctrine, it's impossible to read it as a pastor. This scripture, listen, we had prophets and apostles writing these scriptures, and we're going to respect that. We're going to respect that there's a product that God's looking for when you're reading out of the Old Testament. There's a product God is looking for when you're reading out of the New Testament. But there's a product God is looking for when you're reading his canonized scripture. Hear me and hear me well. This is his spirit. and you don't get to taint it. You don't get to decide how it should be processed. It's his spirit. And he has a history with his word. Okay. He has a desired outcome from his word. We were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, enslaved to our desires and various pleasures too. Listen, we must respect the fact. See, this is the problem. This is why I love God, because he made me a lover of not only him, but a lover of his people. I can't say I've always been a lover of his people, but he did it, and he did it well. Why? Because listen, I remember when I was foolish. That's why I can help people the way that I remember when I was foolish. I'm not one of those who have arrived. And now I'm pearly white and clean, and I know everything about what you should be doing. And have forgotten how to even keep my own self. Oh, come on here. Because right now we're looking at all those that had so much wisdom and so much time in Christ. And look at the end of their ministry. Embarrassment and open shame. Because they didn't keep themselves. How are you keeping everybody else and not yourself? How are you giving everybody else the word and not yourself? How does the word apply to everybody else and not you? Oh, come on here. Yeah, I'm walking all over toes. Because it's later for those lies. Either we're going to help the body of Christ and develop it the way that God has ordained it, or either we're going to get out. And I keep saying it. Because these false prophets and false teachers and false pastors and false apostles and false Christians gonna get out, so that this new generation coming in is not confused and trying to figure out what is Christ and what's not. We have a responsibility to those coming behind us to raise them up right. That's our responsibility. If you call yourself in Christ, you have a responsibility to the kingdom. You have a responsibility to the body. And that responsibility is to be holy and righteous. Not worldly and deceived. But no, we don't want to be holy and righteous, because that's too much like Christ. You see what I'm saying? Maybe you'll catch that tomorrow. It's not crooked enough. It's too straight. Holy and righteousness requires you to be on fire. But the first thing that you're going to burn up is what's not holy and what's not righteous in you. And many don't want to do that. They're tired. They've grown weary in well-doing. No, you know what I do? I kick out that was making me grow weary. You got to go. Your time is up. You don't want Jesus Christ. We got to move forward. I'm just saying. You got to protect your own salvation. You got to know when the enemy is tracking you. You got to know when it's a setup from the enemy and it's not a setup from God. You got to know that. You got to know, oh no, that's not God. Those aren't the markers of Jesus Christ. Those are the markers of a different God. Even if you once was in that God, even if you once desired that God, even if you, that's what makes it even more an offense to Jesus Christ. Because he's like, but I delivered you. I set you free. And you went back and you picked up delusions. You went back and you picked up anger. You went back and you picked up illicit behaviors. You went back. You fell for the okie doke. And here's the other kicker. You chose the lie. You. God, like, what do you want from me? I keep saying it every week because I want you to understand that this thing is not in God's hands. It's in your hands. Your salvation is in your hands. Why? God already did his job. He died on Calvary. He already shed his blood. He said, listen, it's a finished work. What are you talking about? He's not coming back to do that again. He saved us once and that's it. The rest is working out our soul salvation, and the issue is we don't want to do it. Listen, we were once foolish, disobedient, deceived, and slaves to our desires and various pleasures too. We were spending our lives in evil behavior and jealousy. Come on here. Can you get honest with yourself and set yourself free? Even if it's a little bit of jealousy. I want what somebody else got. Listen. We were disgusting and we hated other people. Can we be honest with ourselves or no? The problem is we can't be that honest. That's why I do like to see you be. Listen, the problem is we can't be that honest. I had to become that honest with my own self. That's how you work out your soul salvation. But if you can't work it out the way God has already ordained it, then it's an issue. If you keep trying to say, no, that's not me. No, that's not me. No, that's not what I meant. No, that's not what I did. Yes, it is. What do you want from God? The truth is not found in you because you can't admit that you are disgusting or you were disgusting or you are foolish or you were foolish. You can't accept those things about yourself, but yet you can point it out in everybody else. You listen, it's the truth anyhow. We hated other people. Listen, I'll be the first to tell you. It was years. I was out of the church. Years. You could, if you mentioned church, if you invited me to your church, I would look at you like you were the craziest person on the face of the earth. Like, how dare you open up your mouth and even say church to me? That's how much I despised God. I want you to think about that. That's how far away I was from God. That I thought you were crazy because you were in Christ. I thought you were crazy because you were in Christ. I thought you were a hypocrite because you were in Christ. And many are. Those are the ones that are just in church. But I had a real encounter with Jesus Christ. And he said, wait a minute. They don't represent me. What do you mean? No. I don't act like that. That's not my behavior. That's not my way. What? See, I got saved for real. I had a real encounter. And encounters. What? What do you mean, God? See, God come and tap you and you so happy. Oh, God said I had a word. Oh, God showed me that you can't even sit still long enough to understand why he's really talking to you. That's a little wisdom nugget. You'll catch that on another day. Why? Because God grabs your attention by his presence. But his intentions of presenting himself, you have to be willing to stick around and find out. And many of you, you so happy to... I saw something, I heard something. God said that you didn't stick around long enough to get the whole thing. That's not what I'm preaching or teaching about today, but you know, bonus. Bonus nugget, you know what I mean? There's nothing wrong with that. I have plenty to give. All right, listen. We were disgusting and we hated other people, but when God, our Savior's kindness and love appeared, he saved us because of his mercy, not because of righteous things we had done. Why am I introducing this scripture to you? Because I want you to understand that you can think that you're so righteous that that is what the ticket is. But I'm dispelling every myth that you would come up with from this teaching and think that you're getting in. I have to do it. I'm an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. My job is to untangle your mind and your thinking. My job is to cause you to walk this thing out with a clear clear thoughts, so clear that no enemy can deceive you. And I know how the enemy takes words and twists them. I know how he takes your lack of understanding and make you think that you understand. But I'm preaching this thing about righteousness that leads to holiness. But I also need you to understand this one thing. He saved us because of his mercy, not because of righteous things we had done. God's mercy is what saves us. He saves whom he chooses to save. This is why you must respect the fact that everybody's not going to be saved. This is why you got to respect the fact, hey, you might be the only one in your immediate family line that's going to be saved. You don't get to change because God already put who he put in his kingdom. You don't get to add to his kingdom. You don't get to change who he decided will be saved and who won't. It doesn't change the fact that everybody can come. But he certainly shows mercy to whom he chooses to show mercy. You better hear me and hear me well. Your righteous works still cannot trump his mercy. He saved us because of his mercy and not because of righteous things we had done. He did it through the washing of new birth and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. Listen, the word washes you. The word rebirths you. The word changes you. The word brings you forth. Listen, the word brings you out. The word covers you. The word builds you up. The word admonishes you. The word switches up your mind. The word brings you into right mind. The word brings you into right spirit. The word brings you into alignment. The word works. All of that is washing. All of that is washing. What is it washing? It's washing your brain. It's washing your nervous system. It's washing your soul. It's washing your spirit. Listen, it's cleaning you up and making you ready. Y'all know we do the Stay Ready Conference. It's cleaning you up and making you ready. It's causing you to be a bride found without spot nor wrinkle. But see, we don't think we have to work this hard in the kingdom of God. That's the problem. We think we get hallelujah, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, coming to my heart, and now we're done. No, you're not done. You're just starting. That's just, you ever seen like a broken bone and just the tip is like sticking out of the skin? But it's just the tip. But when they do the x-ray, it's a whole huge bone that got to be dealt with that's broken. It's just because you just see that tip doesn't mean that there isn't a whole thing that needs to be reset under the surface, that needs to be regenerated, that needs to be renewed and set free under the surface, set straight under the surface. Listen, we're not understanding. So we look at these little pieces sticking out and we think, oh, it's not too bad. That's it. Oh, just God, just deal with that little piece. No, he's like, I got to deal with the whole foundation. I got to fix the whole bone, the whole structure, the whole skeletal system. Do you realize your entire body is built off of your skeletal system? And one little fragment, one little piece that's out can cause your body to shift. One little weak muscle could cause your body to give out. One little damaged nerve could cause you to be bent for, oh, come on here. Are you understanding what I'm saying? So we want to deal with God from a little spot perspective and not from the whole body. No, renew me all the way over. Don't just fix my mind, fix my hearing, fix my eyesight, fix my mouth, fix my shoulders, fix my back, fix my legs, fix my feet. Hold on here. We got a whole body that has to be in Christ Jesus. And we want to deal with a nail. Come on here. A pinky fingernail. Okay, maybe just a little toenail, your little pinky toenail. That's all you want God to deal with. The devil is a liar, and Jesus is the Messiah, and that's why you can't get free and not in alignment with him. He knows every part of you that doesn't look like him. And so now, when the truth comes, you refute the truth. But God sent the truth to set you free. God sent the truth to recalibrate your bone structure. God sent the truth to stand you up straight. God sent the truth to make your muscles strong. God sent the truth to cause your shoulders to not be hunched back or lean forward, but to cause you to stand up straight and have broad shoulders. Because what? Now the government is on your shoulder. What? Now every place you come, the king is coming with you. What? But you can't even look at yourself as that one. He did it through the washing of new birth and the renewing by the Holy Spirit. The renewing by the Holy Spirit. The renewing by the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit that helps you to be renewed. It's the Holy Spirit that renews your mind. It's the Holy Spirit that sits down and talk to you about you and reveal you and become a doctor to you. It's the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit is God and Jesus Christ's spirit. Listen, the Holy Spirit was sent by eternity to deal with you. Because Jesus had to return back and sit at the right hand of the Father. And so now he releases his eternal spirit of truth. And he tells you, don't quench it, by the way. Don't quench truth. Read your scripture. Understand it. Because when you quench the Holy Ghost can get ghost on you. Rightfully so. Justly so. The Holy Ghost judges by eternity, not by earth wisdom. And the problem is, we want the Holy Ghost to judge us through humanistic wisdom. And he can't. So he has to leave you to your own devices, because you don't want him. The Holy Ghost is a person that you must formulate a relationship with. And without that relationship, you cannot communicate with Jesus Christ. You're communicating with a different spirit. I'll do that teaching at a different day and time. That's not the teaching that I'm doing today. How you've been communicating with other spirits and not the spirit of the true and living Christ, which is the Holy Ghost. He did it through the washing of the new birth and the renewing by the Holy Spirit, which God poured out upon us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior. Hold on. Hold on. Poured out what? A little bit? Generously. So if you are failing in Christ, is it because of Jesus? It can't be. Not when scripture already tells us that there's plenty. That means you can go from glory to glory. There is no problem that you cannot solve as long as you are witnessing the renewing by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit has enough to go around for each and every one of us to win. The Holy Ghost is never going to say, I'm going to put you on pause because, you know what, I'm over here and I got about 20,000 people that I'm working with. And you know what? You are 20,001 and I can't get to you today. That is not what the Holy Ghost does. The Holy Ghost is everywhere at all times. Are you kidding me? The Holy Ghost is everywhere at all times. The problem may be that you don't want the Holy Ghost. The problem may be that you refuse to call on the Holy Ghost. The problem may be that you refuse to lie down and lie prostrate before your king and listen, pray out and say, help me, deliver me, because I am the problem, not you. So since we have been made righteous by his grace, his grace is sufficient to take us into righteousness. Righteousness, the beginning of righteousness is truth, respecting the fact that we are not clean and we are not holy and we need to develop some more. We need to come into more truth about our King in his world. And the issue is we think that we know more than God. We think because we have read this word that we understand and comprehend it. And we could be far from him. And I have to chuckle a little bit because it's almost crazy. I'm not chuckling like, ha, 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 it's funny. I'm chuckling like when I think about how many people are far from the King. And they think because they got 20 years in church that they have been with Christ. And it's almost scary. It is scary. Nevertheless, so since we have been made righteous by his grace, we can inherit the hope for eternal life. You see how I keep telling y'all about warring for your inheritance? Because your inheritance is eternal life. Your inheritance is not anything in this world. The only inheritance that you should be fighting for from day to day is your place in eternity. That's your inheritance. And that's exactly where Lucifer doesn't want you to go. That's exactly where the devil doesn't want you to go. Listen, the spirit of Lucifer wants you to downgrade yourself to becoming an old serpent like him. That's a whole spirit. The lies and the mayhem that he caused in heaven, he wants you to do it right here, right now in the body of Christ so that you can be judged and rendered to him. So you must understand that it's your job to war for your inheritance, but you must first understand what your inheritance is. See, we want, oh, I'm going to have a mansion and I'm going to have $1 million. And no, you better have Jesus Christ. That's what you better be hoping that you have. That's what you should be fighting for. That's what you should be warring for. I'm warring for my mind to remain in Jesus Christ because he can't do anything with me as a quack. Okay. Listen. I'm not made for everybody, but I am made for some. I can't minister to everybody, but I am ministering to those who belong in Jesus Christ. For real. Because they're not going to take offense to the truth. I'm not calling anybody a quack. I'm saying God can't use quacks. I'm saying he cannot use crazy. I'm saying he cannot use instability. I'm saying he can't use brokenness. I'm saying that he can't use anyone whose mind is not made up to war and win on his behalf. That's what I'm saying. That's what I mean by a quack. And I'm using layman's terminology because what is the point to speak all over your head for you to remain lost? What is the point for me to use big words and, you know, use all of this language and you still can't apply the word or you can't identify that you need help? What's the point? How is God going to get the glory from that? He can't. You're glorifying yourself. You're glorifying your vernacular. That's what you're glorifying. You're glorifying your own intelligence, but you're not glorifying God because to glorify God is for his people to get saved and set free. To glorify God is to elevate his people into the kingdom. To glorify God is to not leave any man behind that belongs in Christ Jesus. That's glorifying God. not how intelligent you can sound, and how many white papers you can write, and how many curriculums you've been in. You know what I mean? Like, I hear so much crazy stuff. Listen, people be telling, oh yeah, I studied under this and I studied under, and I'm sitting there like, you're a quack, because if it takes studying under all these different leaders and you still looking to study, what are you looking for? Like, at what point does God say, now I can use you? Now you're ready. That tells me that you're looking for something that's not in Christ Jesus. That tells me that you're looking for man to elevate you and to say that you are something instead of God. See, God brought me here. God can sit me up and he can sit me down, and I'm cool with it however he wants it. I'm not so full of myself that I'm the big apostle and kiss my ring, you know. Listen, I want to be so on fire that when you sit across the table from me, or when you get on my broadcast, that devils have to tremble and flee. That's all I care about is your soul. Only thing I care about is your mind. The only thing I care about is you getting into the kingdom. Only thing I care about is if you don't get into the kingdom here on earth, don't think that you qualify to get into the kingdom in heaven. And I'm just preaching this gospel in a way that, listen, I want you to come to the realization that you may have been walking this thing wrong, but you don't have to do it any longer. That you can choose Jesus Christ right here, right now. And his grace is sufficient. That's what I just read to you. That his grace is sufficient. Don't forget, those who forget that they were once foolish. I'll never forget how foolish I was. I'll never forget how much of offense I was to Jesus Christ. That's why I can keep myself on fire and in his face and in his presence. Because I don't ever want him to say, I saved you and you just totally downgraded my salvation. No, he's going to say, I saved you and you elevated the salvation till you enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ah, and now here you go. Here's your crown. You can enter into eternity and come sit and sup with me and the Father. I plan on meeting Jesus one day. And I'm not just talking about on this earth. I plan on meeting Jesus face to face for real in eternity. And I plan on having a crown and a mansion in eternity. If I never achieve one here on earth, it doesn't matter to me, because I plan on achieving it in eternity. I'm storing up my riches in heaven and not on earth. So I can't preach this thing the way many do, because I have every intention on anybody under the sound of my voice making it into eternity, not into the church. I have every intention on anybody under the sound of my voice, listen, becoming a bride of Christ, being found without spot nor wrinkle. I have every intention on anybody under the sound of my voice finding themselves, listen, like the churches in Revelations, listen, understanding that it was that one thing that was held against them, but they worked on that one thing. So when the king came to visit them, because no man knows the hour, that they could get in. That's my only intention. Anything outside of it later doesn't matter to me, because it's not going to help me. I'm just saying. I want you to be set free. I want you delivered and I want you healed. I want you to be a living epistle. I want you to be on fire. I want the enemy to no longer be able to duke you out of your inheritance, and your inheritance is eternity with Jesus Christ. So since we have been made righteous by his grace, we can inherit the hope for eternal life. This saying is reliable, and I want you to insist on these things so that those who have come to believe in God might give careful attention to doing good. And doing good is being righteous and being holy, not deeds. Mm-hmm. Doing good is what? Believing in the good word. Doing good is working the good word. Doing good is working the canonized scripture for it to become applicable for your life, because that's what's good in Jesus' eyes. He can look at you and say, that is my fruit, and it's bearing good fruit, not evil fruit. All right. I hope y'all understand what I'm saying. These things are good and useful for everyone. When you are in Christ Jesus, you are a blessing to any environment you walk into. You are a blessing to everyone that encounters you. That's a period and a point blank. You are a blessing first and foremost to Jesus Christ. You are usable first and foremost to Jesus Christ. You are usable in his kingdom. You are good to his kingdom. You are faithful to his kingdom. You are willing to build up his kingdom out of the foundation of holiness and righteousness, not man in your own will and desire. You are transformed through the Holy Spirit. That is what this scripture is talking about. The transformation of your mind, the transformation of your will, the transformation of, listen, your whole body, your whole soul. Everything must go with God. Not one thing left behind. So transformation through the Holy Spirit. First, you must surrender your desires to God through prayer and commitment with the intentional focus to become a servant of righteousness. Becoming a servant of righteousness is not something we achieve through our own strength. We're not strong enough to do this thing. And that's the problem. We keep working our will and thinking that it's God's will and it's not. We keep working our mind and thinking that it's God's mind and it's not. The only mind is the mind of Christ that's strong enough. Every other mind is too weak for what God has called you to do. Becoming a servant of righteousness is not something we achieve through our own strength. We learn to no longer depend on our old heart of stone and rely on the Holy Ghost to surgically do a heart transplant. You have to want that. You can't keep telling God that how you are is okay and that you are not an offense. And that, remember we went back to the disgusting, right? Because you got to remember, something had to be disgusting for him to spew it out. I'm not off, I'm on. Something had to make God unnerved and utterly sick to vomit something out. Vomiting is a projectile. It comes out forcefully. It's not. He didn't say I spat it out. He said I vomited out. That means it was extremely offensive to his ecosystem. It means that it came to be a disruptive. It came to upset. And he's like, it got to go. But what did he attach to that? He said an unstable mind. A person that's warm, lukewarm, that's instability. You got a little hot, you got a little cold. You got a little hot, you got a little cold, so you stay warm. Today you're hot, tomorrow you're cold. Today you're hot, tomorrow you're cold. This hour you're hot, next hour you're cold. You don't stay hot and you don't stay cold. I will keep preaching this. Hot he can do something with. Cold he can do something with. That lukewarm is nothing he can do with. It totally disrupts his system, and that's why we have what we have. That's why we're looking at what we're looking at, because people are preaching a false gospel and it's hybrid and it's warm. Mm-hmm. And so you sitting there drinking warm, like a cat. You didn't give me is more milk. Or like that baby, you know. You put a little oatmeal in the warm milk to make them feel full because they got a sensitive stomach. Only thing I'm saying is those tactics don't work in the kingdom. And the problem is we are not realizing that we are not being transformed by the Holy Ghost because we do not have the mind and we're not allowing the Holy Ghost to surgically do that heart transplant. Our heart is still stuck in the same old place. And our spirit man is growing or wants to grow, but it can't grow because the heart is not right. Hear me and hear me well. It is the work of the Holy Spirit in us that transforms us, that makes us righteous. that causes us to be useful, that causes us to be good for God and to God, that causes us to be holy and righteous. When you meditate on Titus 3 and allow the Holy Spirit to minister to your new created spirit, that's very important. Stop ministering to your brokenness. Stop ministering to your pain. Stop ministering to your will. Minister to your new created spirit. Build your new created spirit up. That's going to take time, but respect the fact that you do have a new created spirit that was designed to destroy everything inside of you that's not like Jesus. Allow him to show you the way. Allow him to be the light. The problem is we keep quenching the Holy Ghost because we think we already know. And we don't want to lay prostrate before the King. We don't want to lay ourselves down. Your development is rooted in righteousness and holiness in Christ Jesus. Your development cannot be rooted in another man's gospel. Your development can't be rooted in another man's testament. Your development cannot be rooted in another man's thought. Your development has to be rooted in Jesus Christ by the Holy Ghost. Your development is rooted in righteousness and holiness in Christ Jesus, in Christ Jesus alone. Scripture allows your mind to be transformed. Nothing else is going to allow your mind to be transformed. Only Scripture. Even those who think they go, oh, I go to a Christian counselor. That Christian counselor cannot transform your mind. Only the Holy Ghost can transform your mind. And so you have to be under true leaders that stay with God. True leaders that worship the Lord Jesus Christ and can hear about your soul and can hear about where you are. You cannot lay yourself subject to half of the flightiness that's going on out here. It may feel good to your soul. It may feel good to your nefesh. It may feel good to you, but is it good to you? Is it good for you? So if you're approaching God in a very humanistic way, you're trying to find a family in church and he's trying to get you to find him. So you keep going to all these churches and becoming a member because you're looking for a family. You're not really looking for Jesus Christ. And so now your time is wasted and your inheritance, you're not getting closer to it. You're getting further from it because you're also putting yourself under all of these different doctrines. Hear me and hear me well. And it will not cross your mind without a real apostle of Jesus Christ to help you to point out where you are drowning. To take you back to the root of what's happening and causing you not to succeed in Jesus Christ. That's our job. Nevertheless, Scripture allows your mind to be transformed. Yielding bestows grace upon your life to work with the Holy Spirit to doctor, to convert, and to transfigure your mind. That's up to you. But you're not going to be able to do any of that without working with the Holy Ghost. And holiness renews the righteous spirit of God in you. If you don't have that righteous spirit of God in you, it's nothing that the Holy Ghost can do because the Holy Ghost communes through the righteousness of Jesus Christ. And because you will never see it as righteous, you will not have the ears to hear. Are you understanding me? So when righteousness shows you truth or reveals truth, when the Holy Spirit reveals truth, you won't be able to receive it because the Holy Spirit, listen, that righteous spirit of God is actually not in you. So you must work on your spirit man and develop it. I'm telling you, I'm giving this message. I'm not hooping and hollering today, but I'm laying down some real serious foundation because what am I saying to you? If you are going to move forward in Christ, we got to look at your foundations. Is your foundations in Christ righteous and holy? If it's not, you have to get to work. if you are in Christ because somebody told you to come to church, not because you love him so much that you want to be like him and you want to achieve the things that he was able to achieve, then that's a problem. If you are in church because you want to be seen, because you couldn't make it in the world, and the church is the only place that has no rules and regulations as to how you enter in and become a leader in it. It only solely looks at your gifts and says, all right, my gifts ain't room for me. Okay. But you a whole pervert. You a whole alcoholic. You a whole drug addict. Come on here. But the church is the only place that it puts these broken people over lives. That's a whole offense in the world. That's a whole case. You need to go to jail. But we don't have any court jail. Yes, we do. Because when the Holy Ghost get a hold of you and lock you up, it's a wrap. It's a wrap. And you know you on judgment lane. Then you might decide to work your soul salvation out with fear and trembling. You might. But if the righteous spirit of God is not found in you, your verdict is already done. You're going to hell. And we can keep playing like that ain't true. But it's still scripture. Everybody's not getting it. I'm not saying I want you to go to hell. I'm saying if God has touched you and chosen you, and you still can't see how important it is to clean your life up, if you still can't see how important it is to turn from your wicked ways, if you still can't see how important it is to have your mind renewed in Christ Jesus, if you still can't see how important it is to build up your spirit man, if you still can't see how important it is to lay down your will and pick up his, what do you want from him? You don't want him. Titus 3 and 5 reminds us that the Holy Spirit empowers us to live righteously. It teaches us to walk justly in alignment with God's truth. This process of sanctification involves a daily dying of self and growing and living for Christ, as a bondservant. I want you to understand that it's important that you have to live for Christ as Christ. You can't live for Christ as you. You have to live in Christ. As he is, so are we in this world. Hear me and hear me well. Yeah, I'm walking all through these. If you could just see the congregation. Yeah. Because it's later for that. I'm not going to preach you something that's not going to land you where you need to be. I'm going to preach to you just like Christ preached to those who got set free in his time. Pick up your bed and walk. Pick up your bed and walk. Go and sin no more. This is how we stand. We have to stand flat footed. If as he is, so are we in this world. Then I can say to you, go and sin no more. And you should adhere to that word and begin to wrestle with everything that would want you to sin. I'm just saying. But we don't even have that kind of reverence to our leaders. To people who literally lay their life down for Jesus Christ so that you could live and not die. Because I'm living. I'm making it in. My mind is so made up, I don't care. I totally believe that. Listen, if I got to cut off a hand, poke out an eye, I'm getting in. Because I know that this old filthy flesh is going to the dust, but my spirit must stay clean so I can get in. So if I got to walk around because I couldn't deal with the sin and the demise of myself, so I had to just get rid of it. See, this is what I'm saying. Mm-hmm. We're not willing to just get rid of things. We want to pat devils and keep enemies around, and it's all trickery. But you can't win in Christ. You have to have the mind of Christ to win. The mind of the world cannot outwit Jesus Christ. Liberation through obedience is it to the canonized scripture, the truth of Christ's sacrifice and resurrection power that liberates us from the chains of unrighteousness and allow us to choose righteousness and holiness is where we have to remain. We must understand that his grace is sufficient, and we must be willing to go from glory to glory every day to prove that God did not make a mistake when he chose us, but he chose us before the foundations of this earth. He knew us before we were ever in our mother's womb, and he didn't make a mistake through the family in which he birthed us in, and he did make a mistake in grafting us back into his. But if we don't respect that process, and if we don't realize that that is a process, but that's the same process he had to go through, And why once he went through it, he had to prove that he could return back to eternity. And here we are. That's what we went through all through Romans 8, right? We talked about that. Proving. In Romans 8, it talked about, wait a minute, if Jesus himself had to deal with himself and go through hardship, what makes you think that you're not going to have to go through hardship and fight for your salvation? What is this lullaby of salvation? Anyway, I just need you guys to understand that righteousness leads us to holiness, and holiness renews the righteous spirit of God in us. And if we're going to be found in Christ, we better get to work. We better get to work, and we better be found holy and righteous in our minds, in our hearts, in our souls, in our spirits, in our bodies. It's the whole thing. If you don't remember anything else, remember God wants to bring your whole life online, not just the part. God is going to deal with everything, not just a few. And if you don't want him to do that, then you don't want him. Because truly, as he is, so are we in this world. I promised you that I would end this way every week. Reminding you of your daily routine, and it does matter. And what is the daily routine? Is the strength training that you need to become a living epistle. First and foremost, you must realize, according to 1 John 4:15-18, whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. Listen, it's a relationship. And you have to respect that. And it's not a one-way relationship. This is a two-way relationship. And we have known and believed the love that God has to us. God is love, and he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. God bless you. I'm Apostle Janita Collins. And listen, have a great week. Don't forget to go over your scriptures. Don't forget that God is real. And don't forget that the Holy Ghost does want a relationship with you, but it's not going to come and hang out with you in filth. It'll only come to filth when it's ready to save you. It's going to come and let you know that, hey, there's a God that has a concern for you and is available for you. Now, come on and sup and learn. Come on and get developed. But it's not going to live in that place. But it will give you an opportunity. God bless you. Don't think that God is not looking at the saint or the sinner. Listen, he's available for all of us. But we all got to make a choice. God bless you.